Relationships rule. That's my motto. I'm Janice Porter, and I love to share the power of relationship marketing to help grow and impact business. I've grown my business by building and nurturing relationships, and I'd like to help you do the same. Welcome to the Relationships Rule podcast, where connection means everything. Hi, everyone, and welcome to this week's episode of Relationships Rule. My guest this week is Kristen Kramer, who is the founder of Bold Moves Boss. She is an expert coach and consultant specializing in the convergence of time, tech, and talent to revolutionize the way entrepreneurs approach business growth. And boy, there's questions I have for her, for me, because I do everything myself. And really, I don't need to do everything myself. And I think Kristen's the girl to ask because she has a lot of answers. Her roots are in a virtual assistant agency. She owned one or does still own one. I'm not sure. We'll get into that. And she, what I love is I saw this on your, I think it was on your website, Kristen, that you are the anti-cookie cutter consultant. And so I want to start there. So first of all, welcome. Welcome to the show.
Yeah. Thank you, Janice. I am so excited to be on your show today. And I hope that, you know, your listeners get a lot out of this and just appreciate the opportunity. So anti-cookie cutter. This is really a core philosophy of mine that I have followed since I started my business in 2011. But it really, really bubbled up to the surface and became a center point for me, sort of a focal point in the last 3 years or so. Okay. Because I've watched a lot of programs that have just amazing marketing. I mean, I'm jealous of the marketing. And, you know, they give you this, you know, process that you're supposed to follow, right? The framework.
Yes.
And they promise big results, right?
Big money for this.
Big money. Yeah. And I've been both on the receiving end of it and witness to other entrepreneurs sort of experiencing this, right? Yeah. So, you know, what happens is we get into these programs, they're a cookie cutter solution. They probably worked really well for the person that's selling them because, you know, they're selling them. They wouldn't sell something they didn't think worked.
Right.
But what I see is more often than not, those frameworks that are just sort of a one size fits all approach don't deliver results. So people get into these programs, myself included, I've been there, done that. Mm-hmm. And you're not getting the results that they say you're supposed to be getting. And maybe you're brave enough to share that with the person running the program. Like, hey, you know, I don't know what I'm doing wrong, but something ain't right because I'm not getting the results that you said I would get. And the way they approach that, or at least that I've been on the receiving end and watched with other people, is that you're the problem. Like, if you're not getting results in this program, it's because you're not doing the work and you are the problem, not my program, you. Right. And one, it's really frustrating when you're on the receiving end of that. Mm-hmm. Two, it's just soul crushing for me to watch people experience it. And three, it's not you. There's nothing wrong with you. What's wrong is that cookie cutter solutions don't work. They just don't work. You are unique. The way you work in your business is unique. Your business, therefore, is unique. You know, if we extrapolate it out, like, and so what we need to do is look at how are you functioning in your business, right? Mm-hmm. How do you make decisions and process information? And then come up with a framework customized to your needs and the way you work and think and do that is going to help you grow your business your way.
Yeah, it sounds like, oh, wait, she's listening to me. She's going to listen to, you know, how I do something. So I totally understand the example you just gave where someone will say, you know, do this 3-day challenge and, you know, it'll be, you know, what, a $50,000 challenge that you're going to make. Well, the real question is, did they do it the first time around? Probably not. But they don't say that. They just say, this is what to expect. And it doesn't always happen. And I think that I totally, I hear lots of people that spend a lot of money on these kinds of courses, and very few have that same success. It's very true. But the complete other end of that is being able to listen, be a good listener. So when someone, you know, has a discovery call with you, or however you start with a process with them, you have to listen and ask the right questions, and then listen to what they're saying, what they're not saying, and how it's affecting their business. So you and I just had a quick conversation before we went on air about something very simple, a process that I'm still doing manually around my podcast, and which I probably could have, and I've tried before, but I haven't followed through, to have a checklist of things that somebody else could do on my behalf, or could be automated, perhaps, I don't know. But it's having the trust factor and knowing that it's all going to get done, and being able to let go of some of it that I find difficult. And so you get someone like me, so you have to be a counselor as well as an expert in, you know, in the systems, right?
Right. Yeah. I mean, and I understand what you're saying, because there's a couple things that happen when we want to start delegating work out, right? There is the trust factor. So we have to know that we can trust and rely upon the person that we're asking to do the work. And there are ways to onboard and train and communicate that help you do that, so you don't have to micromanage. But the other piece of it is, you know, when your business can essentially run on a lot of levels without you as the main ingredient, it a little bit of fear and insecurity comes into play, because we're like, they don't need me anymore. I've been replaced. They don't need me anymore. I'm not significant to my business. I'm not important to my business. And it sounds silly, like, you know, when I say it out loud, I'm like, you know, 10 years ago, if somebody had said that to me, I'd been like, whatever. But I experienced that when I had my VA agency. I had 8 virtual assistants. I swear to you, as the day is long, I could have gotten abducted by aliens, or, you know, fallen into a crevice or something, and them not hear from me for weeks on end. And they would have continued just running like a well-oiled machine. And that's amazing when you can create that in your business. For me, that's the pinnacle of success. Okay. You know, in my mind, that's what I'm always aiming for. But I did feel that insecurity and kind of like, okay, so now what am I supposed to do? Because they clearly don't need me. You know, I did such a great job training and onboarding and building out systems that I'm no longer necessary. And so you do get a little bit of insecurity that sets in, but it fades. It does fade. If you sit in the discomfort of it long enough, it will ease up.
So the name of your company, Bold Moves Boss, which says something to me that, so tell me where that came from, because was it making the bold move into this business, or is it that you create bold moves for your clients?
I think it's a little of both, but it's more about helping people take the bold moves to what I call boss up their business. That used to be one of my taglines that I used, you know, bold moves to boss up your business. There's a lot of fire element in my branding.
Yes.
And that's because, you know, fire is associated with transformation and movement. It's very active. And sometimes, you know, if you've ever heard me talk about different stages of the business life cycle, one of them is the Phoenix, where you're reinventing and rebuilding your business. And you're having to rise from the ashes, you know, into this fiery bird. And that's really the essence of the brand, Bold Moves Boss. It's about, one, truly appreciating and stepping into your own power, right? That you are the boss, right? And I know that the term boss kind of comes with, it has a negative connotation. But for me, it's a positive It's a positive word because we all want to be the boss. Like even when we, you know, when I worked in a traditional workforce, it's better to be the boss than to have a crummy boss telling you what to do all the time, right?
I don't see it as negative. I see it as powerful. It's been modernized with the boss babe type of mentality, right? As well.
Yeah.
But let's just back up for a second, because you work with businesses in each of the stages of their growth, the launch, and you've got the unicorn, the launch and build phase, you've got the dragon, the growth and scale phase, and then the phoenix, the reinvent and rebuild. So you'll work with people in any of those phases of their business, right?
Yep, that's correct. Right. Okay. I will.
Yeah. And so what's your favorite?
I think I'm a little biased right now because I find my business a bit in the phoenix stage, mm-hmm. You know, because it taking it in a different direction and kind of
reinventing a little
reinventing
bit.
Reinventing how I fit into the current marketplace, right? Yeah. To meet the needs of the changing marketplace. And I know it sounds silly. I do like all of them. Unicorns are, you know, they're fun to work with because they're, you know, it's about bringing their vision into the real world, right? So helping them figure out how they can be more effective in their business if they're a solopreneur. Mm-hmm. I work with a lot of solopreneurs,
yeah.
To bring that vision into reality. And then dragons are, you know, in that growth and scale phase. I've lived that several times over in my own business. And so it's truly the entrepreneur going through the growing pains of a growing business.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, helping them navigate and avoid all the tar pits and thorny brambles of that process is fun. But usually what'll happen is, you know, I'll start with somebody, you know, early in their business life cycle, and then we just continue to evolve how I'm working with them as their business continues to grow. I'm used to having long-term clients, you know, because I can work with businesses at any of those stages. And so I'm able to sort of continue to evolve, meeting their needs, and helping them guide, you know, be guided through that scaling process. Cause it is painful. Mm-hmm. It doesn't have to be a nightmare.
Yeah.
And you don't have to go it alone, but there are some speed bumps you're going to, you know, run into.
So with the work that you do, do you have to constantly be assessing the different tools that are out there? Or do you stay with your tried and true favorites?
No, I really try to stay up to date on, you know, like right now I'm exploring a lot of different AI platforms and how do we, you know, just, I mean, it's the popular topic, right?
Of course.
But not just for copywriting and right. marketing purposes but for how we can leverage that technology to be more effective in our day-to-day operations, and help us ease some of that decision fatigue that happens as entrepreneurs. You know, you get to the end of the day and you're like, you have to figure out what's for dinner. And you're just like, I don't care. Somebody find a frozen pizza, right? Cause I don't want to make another decision today. Like I'm tapped out.
Yeah.
So, you know, I definitely stay on top of what's coming up. And if somebody brings a platform to me, then I go and I'm exploring it and trying to learn, you know, learn more about it. Because, you know, the other thing that you and I have talked about is that it's really important to get you matched up with the right technology. So I don't think there's anything wrong with, you know, only servicing or only working with the, you know, specific set of platforms, but, you know, Keep isn't a good platform for everyone. Zoho's not for everyone. Some people just need constant contact or whatever. So yeah.
I've tried to keep it simple because I get overwhelmed by things like Trello. Even I tried Trello once and it was all pretty and color coded, but I couldn't get myself there. I'd rather have my nice fountain pen and write on a piece of paper. So, you know, yeah. It just, you find these things out about yourself as you're going through these processes, for sure.
Absolutely.
Definitely. So, hi everyone. Here at Relationships Rule, we are all about the personal touch. Dive into the 10-card gratitude challenge with me. Transform your relationships through the power of simple gestures. Join me and let's spread joy and appreciation one card at a time. You will elevate your connections and your spirits because it's just as much fun to send cards as it is to receive them. Ready to make a lasting impact? Then visit sendoutcards.com/Janice Porter and let's be unforgettable together. But what I find interesting in the work that you do, which I think would be really rewarding, is that you, and I want to come back to something that we just talked about, AI. I want to just share something with you. But okay. That you kind of work both sides of things. You're looking at the operations and how mm-hmm. to systemize things. And you're also looking at the people side of things and delegating. So that must be really rewarding when you're able to sort of cover the bases for people.
Yeah, I think what kind of feeds my soul is when I'm able to see my clients have those aha moments, you know, where that spark, you know, that led us down this entrepreneurial pathway and said, I want to be a trailblazer.
Well, and being able to find the time to do what they love to do,
yes.
the part of the business that they love to do, as opposed to being dug in the mire of having to do your taxes or your...
Right. Yeah. I feel the same way about accounting, but yeah, I think it's about falling in love with your business again, you know, falling in love with the idea that, you know, you're the boss, and being the boss means that you also have control of how you do things and the outcome.
Yeah.
And taking, you know, just really stepping into having control of, I guess, your destiny, if you will. But really for me, I think working both sides of that and helping them, you know, leverage time and technology and then talent, right? The people that they're working with in their business, is rewarding because I get to see them fall in love with their business again. Like, remember why they wanted to be the captain of their own ship to begin with, and to really love that experience and that journey. And you're right. And have a business that fuels the lifestyle and the other dreams that they want to bring forth in their life.
So when you mentioned AI and not just the copywriting piece, I have a client that, so part of my business is nurturing relationships that you have with your clients and your prospects and so on. And I do that through real mail greeting cards and gifts. And it's a system that I use. That's one thing that's systemized in a way for me, but I still like to do the personal touch on the cards. And so I write them all most of them are done individually. But one of my clients, she decided that she loved the idea of sending the cards, but she wanted to make sure that it was really personalized. And so she would go, she is now doing this. She's going to their LinkedIn profile. And maybe if she has access to if she's talked to them in their website, and she gets a sense of who they are, she's in sales. Mm-hmm. And she's putting these things into DALL-E, the AI visual thing.
Yeah.
And comes up with a card, a front of a card that has all of their interests and whatever on it. So it shows that she's listened. And then she uses that on the card system that we have.
I love that. I love that idea. That is a great example of how we can leverage that technology. I was really resistant to jump on the AI bandwagon because I was like, you know, the last thing I want to do is kill more brain cells and forget like things like grammar, spelling, you know, just fundamental communication skills, or independent thinking. But you know, now I really see it as a tool to help me be more productive, in my business. And, you know, for example, I can take a transcript from a call that I've had, if I have permission to record it, of course.
Yes.
And I can drop that into ChatGPT and a custom GPT that I've built.
Yeah.
And I can ask it to give me a meeting recap, with key takeaways, action steps, like, you know, to-do list for each of us and, you know, all of those things. And that used to take me a few hours to do, you know, because I'd have to go back through all my notes.
Yes.
And now it's, you know, I'm able to turn around a meeting recap in just a few hours, you know, depending on how much I, you know, want to dig into all the details, but usually what it generates on the first run is great.
Yeah. Yeah, that's another whole thing, though, is the custom templates. And I just had a sniff of that with somebody that was on a call with us with some LinkedIn trainers a couple of weeks ago. And I haven't had time to go back and explore it. But it feels techie to me, and I get bogged down in it. But it makes sense when you showed me actually how you had yours set up. So yeah. Anyway, it's another whole thing and another piece that you bring to the table actually for your clients, I think, that's going to be really useful going forward.
Yeah. Thank you.
Just to take it offline a little bit, I just want to find out a little bit more about you, and my audience then gets to know you a little bit more, because mm-hmm. I think you have a lot to offer a lot of the people that listen to my podcast. But I like to know sometimes, you know, are you a traditional reader? Are you a Kindle reader now, or are you a listener? Are you a video person? How do you get your information or enjoyment, I should say, too?
So my guilty pleasure is true crime.
Okay. Books.
Books, podcasts. And I'll listen to it because I can listen to them while I'm working on other things, sure. Cooking dinner in the car, whatever, right?
Yeah.
And I do like audiobooks. Although the audiobooks I listen to are nonfiction, so, you know, they're like business or history or, you know, whatever. I haven't really like gotten hooked on listening to fiction because that's kind of like, I don't know. You know, when you read a fiction book, you're in your head, you hear what the characters sound like and everything. And an audio, when it's just one person reading, sometimes they do a good job, sometimes they don't. But so I would say like the way I consume media right now is mostly audio.
Okay.
But I do a lot of video too. Okay. You know, I mean, but it's really probably more audio because I'm busy doing other things. And with a video, sure. I mean,
you have to sit and watch it. I know.
Yeah. Sit and watch it. Yeah.
Talking about true crime. Have you ever read Anne Rule's books?
No, I haven't.
You definitely want to do that. She's been around as a true crime writer for years. And I met her actually. She was from the Pacific Northwest and she came up to Vancouver to speak. And I went to hear her and she was amazing. But her stuff is like, there was a guy in Seattle who, like, every one of her books, they've been convicted or they whatever. And she mm-hmm. takes through the whole story. And she's even corresponded with the people that she's written.
Yeah.
It's really interesting. Anyway, her stories are very gripping. There was a movie probably before your time with Farrah Fawcett called The Burning Bed.
Oh, no, I know that movie.
Okay, well, that's one of the books that she wrote. And there's one about this. I'll have to get the name of it for you because it was just gripping, about this guy who supposedly killed his wife. And it was like the perfect murder. And the whole story, like, you can't stop reading her stuff.
Right. Yeah. No, definitely tell me what it is. Cause I do enjoy reading it. It's just that I find that
on audio now, I don't know. They could.
That's true too. I mean, and there is something to be said about reading a book, even if it's an ebook. I mean, it uses a different part of our brain and engages us differently. And I'm on the computer a lot. So I think that's why I don't use my phone as a computer because I'm like, I just get on my laptop if I need something.
You know, it's funny because I used to read a lot more, and I find myself very distracted now when I read. And I really wanted to read this book that I'd heard about. It was a novel. I don't read novels very, very often at all. And it is called Lessons in Chemistry. And it got really good reviews. And I bought the book, the hardcover book. I bought the book and I've read two chapters and it sits on my night table. But it's been made into a series on Apple TV. And I knew it was there and I didn't want to watch it because I wanted to read the book first.
Yeah.
I just caved and I've started to watch it. And I think that's where it needs to be for me because I'm liking what I'm seeing. So you never know, right? You just never know.
Well, and I think, you know, it's different because you know, like me, you probably consume so much electronically that, you know, you're kind of like to sit down with a book and
hard
read it that way. It's just, you're kind of like, oh, I've been reading stuff all day.
Exactly. So that's one question. The other question I wanted to ask you, and then I'm going to give you one final question that, is I often ask my guests to comment on my favorite word, which is curiosity. And I want to know two parts. One, do you think curiosity is innate or learned? And part two is, what are you most curious about these days?
So, nature versus nurture. The age-old question. You know, I think curiosity can be learned.
Okay.
But I would also say that there are people who, like my daughter, for example, she is very curious and she will go she just researches all kinds of random stuff. She can blame me on that, but because I'm like that too. So she's very curious about the world and how people behave and wants to understand it more. And some people I think are just like, leave me in my bubble. I don't want to know, which right. is fine. But I think you can teach it too. And I think it's fostering an environment where I think this piece is the key. It's okay to ask questions.
Yes.
Right. Because that's the root of curiosity, is to question things. And, you know, sometimes, you know, I mean, my dad was a great example of this, and I don't fault him for it, but it was do as I say, not as I do.
Oh, right. Yeah.
Now I'm still very curious, but you know, he didn't want, it wasn't a conversation or question. You know, it was like, I told you to go do this, go do it. I'm not here to discuss it with you. But I think that curiosity is when you're in an environment where you're able to ask questions and it's encouraged for you to question things, that you can learn to be very curious. And I think it's something that people should work to cultivate. If they feel like they're not very curious about things, then I would really encourage them to try it on, you know, and just start asking questions. Mm-hmm. And they might be surprised, might be pleasantly surprised, be like, oh, wow. Okay. What was the second part of the question? I'm sorry.
What are you most curious about these days?
What am I most curious about these days? Well, so it's kind of twofold. One is I'm really curious about the direction of AI. Mm-hmm. Because I grew up with the Terminator movies, and I am like, this is Skynet, like being born, right? That's part of what I have go through my head sometimes. Because it's a long conversation anyway. But so I'm very curious to see how that's going to go. But I think I'm most curious about human behavior. And why people do the things that they do, and you know, why you can have two people that grow up in the same household and they turn out very differently, mm-hmm. or why people make the decisions that they make. And it's not just psychology, it's really just kind of understanding like the logic that they're using to make those decisions. Mm-hmm. So I think that's why true crime appeals to me so much, is sure. You know, not because I'm like morbid and like to see other people suffer. But it's because I'm like, the question I'm always asking is like, at what point did that, you know, boundary of, I might think about doing that, but I know that's not a good idea, right? Like, I don't want to do the jail time. There's too many repercussions. Like, you know, being able to understand the potential outcome and the consequences of it versus somebody that just bypasses that boundary and they do something, you know? So that's like what happened there? Like,
right.
how did they get to that point where they were like, yeah, this is a good plan. This is what I'm going with, versus I'm going to walk away and whatever, right. You know, have the day, you know, karma delivers to you that you deserve or whatever, you know? So I think human behavior is probably the thing I'm most curious about.
Okay. Thank you.
Second rival being AI.
Yeah. Okay. That's awesome. Thank you. And the last question I want to ask you is, what would you like to leave with my audience today as perhaps your key business advice?
Yeah. So first I would say that at some point in your business, you need help, right? Like, you're going to get to a point where you just can't manage it all yourself. Mm-hmm. And if we work to build a solid foundation, meaning you've taken the time to, I know this is going to sound really tedious and boring, but to really document the way you're working in your business, how things get done, then when you come to me and you say, Kristen, I need to get a virtual assistant, and I ask you, what are you going to have them do? You will understand what you want to get off of your plate.
Right.
And you have to know that information before you go out and hire somebody. Because if you put the cart before the horse and hire somebody without having a clue as to what you're going to delegate to them, and that's usually just because we're, you know, we're walking on water all the time as entrepreneurs. So we don't stop long enough to get it all organized in a nice, neat little package, right? But take the time to document it and do yourself a huge favor to do that and consciously understand where you're investing your time. Because if it's not, if your time is not invested in cultivating relationships and nurturing relationships, because those are the two activities that put money in your bank account, then it probably needs to be assigned to somebody else. But to do that, you have to know what those things are, how you're going to train them, how you're going to onboard them, how you're going to assign work to them, how you're going to hold them accountable without micromanaging them to death and creating more work for yourself.
Yeah, that's good advice, actually, because I have tried before to have someone do some VA work for me, but I didn't really know what I wanted them to do. And you can't expect them to be the person to pick it up when they don't know what you want. So,
right. Yeah. And they only see a sliver of your business. They don't really see the entire business itself. So it's, you really put yourself in a, you know, in a position of frustration and not getting the results that you hoped for when you're not clear on what you're going to have them do. Plus, if you don't know what you're going to delegate, how do you ensure that you hire the right professional?
Right. Exactly. Because not everybody's the expert in everything.
Right. Right.
Well, thank you. Thank you for being here. Thank you for your wisdom, because I do believe that you know what you're talking about. And I encourage my audience to check out your website, boldmovesboss.com. And I will put everything in the show notes about how to find you. Excuse me. I will also send you some information on Ann Rule and her books. And it'll be fun for me to look those up again. And thank you to my audience for being here. As usual, I appreciate you. And remember to stay connected and be remembered. Thanks for joining us. If today's show inspired you to make a new connection, why not start with me? Head over to LinkedIn and connect with me. Be sure to let me know you are a podcast listener, because I select one listener each month who connects with me on LinkedIn for a complimentary profile audit. And you know I love to meet new people, so I hope you take me up on it. Don't forget to stay connected and be remembered.